Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 30th day of January 2021. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and if there's a theme that we got to start off with this evening as we try to wrap up a week of post-constitutional tyranny, it's farce. And there's so much of it, we almost have to start chronologically. Beijing Biden, allegedly at least sitting somewhere in the White House, was given a whole stack of executive orders by his puppet masters to sign. Evidently, he doesn't know what they say, but there's video up online that really kind of characterizes the new regime. He's not mic'd, of course, and is always kind of difficult to understand anyway, much less through a face diaper. But he admits to his handler that he's clueless about what he's signing, saying, quote, "I don't know what I'm signing on camera." I crank the gain way up. Maybe you can make it out. He got his orders to do it anyway, and of course, he did. As the National File put it, the awkward interaction appears to have been prompted by someone communicating with Biden via earpiece, which has become a staple of the 78-year-old Biden's public appearances. They left out the word senile, folks, and that's what's clearly appropriate here, due to his numerous gaffes and instances of erratic behavior, unquote. And this follows on the heels of what's being called the classic earpiece fail as the new Fuhrer entered the Capitol building. He looked like a doddering old man being escorted into an old folks home. Obviously, it wasn't paying attention, even when the earpiece told him, "Salute the Marines."
Salute the Marines.
So yeah, we'll start with that story, and I'll ask a historic question for those of you that haven't been dumbed down in the last couple of decades and ignorant of the history of, for example, World War II, the Bolshevik Revolution, the Mao Zedong Revolution, and the like. Would Germany have been better off if Hitler had started out senile rather than simply ending up insane? I'd have to argue no, because in the case of Biden, it's obvious he never has been calling his own shots. He's never been anything more than a puppet all along. It's obvious why heels in the air commie cammy was put in there anyway, and the only question is how long until they realize it's time to pull the strings, pull him out, and put her in. Expressed differently, perhaps it boils down to how long can they keep dealing with embarrassing video gaffes, or will they be able to shut down all the alternative media soon enough they won't worry about it. On that score, I've got another top contender for the leadoff story today. This one ought to concern not only every American, but especially those of us who understand how important alternative sources like this network are. The Associated Press, maybe that stands for Achtung Propaganda nowadays, is demanding that Apple and Gulag and all the other public-private partners, but especially the big two that control most of the cell phone access in America with a K, remove all decentralized podcast marketplaces. Yeah, that includes things that bring you podcasts from this network from their respective app stores, because what was once called freedom of speech is now called, say it with me folks, extremist. According to the AP, white supremacists and conspiracy theorists and all kinds of other deplorables and undesirables are using podcasts to exercise, horror of horrors, their First Amendment once constitutionally protected rights, which shouldn't be allowed anymore in Biden's America with a K, because CNN reporters and other far leftists posing as Trump supporters, along with a few actual dupes, entered the Capitol building on January 6th and left a bit of trash on the ground. Which, of course, gave the Capitol Police and other insiders an excuse to execute at least one young woman, former military, who actually served her country. Furthermore, those who run the Achtung Police went on to make the asinine claim that even allowing these podcasts to exist is directly feeding into the QAnon conspiracy theory, as Trump supporters continue to use them to, quote, wallow in President Donald Trump's false claims of a stolen election and bask in other extremism, unquote. And remember, folks, what Adolf said, if you keep repeating a lie, and the bigger it is, the better, often enough, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. The election wasn't stolen. It was honest as the day is long, and so forth. Eventually, the gullible rubes will start to believe it, especially if you don't give them any other choice and throw them into digital gulags and then concentration camps if they persist in trying to think. continued the Allied propagandists, quote, accounts that have been banned on socialist media for election misinformation, threatening or bullying, and breaking other rules, too, also still live on as podcasts available on the tech giants' platforms, unquote. Aktum und Zist must be verboten, citing none other than the ADL. Claims that all of these people are white supremacists, says already widely banned Natural News and reporter Ethan Huff, in their attempts to stamp out right-wing viewpoints in the age of Fuhrer Beijing Biden. And as Huff notes, part of the less new Unity plan apparently involves branding any and all modes of communication that might be used by conservatives as terrorist breeding grounds. And in order to paint everybody as one, people who reject communism must be systematically removed from the internet in order to promote love and harmony. It's the kind of harmony, folks, that's represented best by one hand clapping.
Within the sound of silence.
And you may recall recently where the criminally negligent news network gave a platform to former Two Facebook executive Alex Stamos, far leftist, who's openly called for other competing news networks to be silenced and extinguished because, quote, there are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN, unquote. How dare they think that people should be allowed to have alternatives to the propaganda line. The coup that took 4 years to complete is now a done deal, and those that seem at least to have the reins of power are literally cracking down, cranking down the screws, and making sure there will not be a counter-revolution if they have anything to say about it. And of course, to Facebook, Twitter, CNN, and the New York Times are going to make sure that we won't. So let's start with this story. Once again, I have to remind folks this is not the Babylon Bee or the Onion, but what now sadly passes for fact in the United States, courtesy of Steve Watson and Summit News, the latest of Joe Biden's 37 executive orders signed during the first week, Aktung, states that any reference to the so-called China virus is now verboten, banned, not permissible. You will not be allowed to tweet about it or even to suggest such a thing ever existed. Yes, they say this is real, and the White House website confirms that Fuhrer Biden has signed the executive order, whether he knew what he was signing or not. CBS News called it a Biden action to, quote, address racism toward Asian Americans during the plandemic. They spelled it wrong with executive action. Und ja, you must love Big Brother. And NBC News notes in a list of all the tyrannical executive actions Biden has instigated thus far, including banning newly verboten words. Additionally, they say, the order directed the Attorney General to work to prevent discrimination and hate crimes. You know what that means, folks? That's anybody that dares to speak up against the totalitarian crackdown that they're consolidating. And yes, notes the Zero Hedge summary, along with Steve Watson. This is the same creepy Joe Biden, well, unless you count cognitive decline, which is accelerating, still, though, an outrageous hypocrite who said only back in October that anyone who legislates by executive order should be considered a, and I'm quoting, dictator. One of the few times he's actually been right, we have to concur, and of course, it's obvious anyway. Here's a related story from much earlier in the week. YouTube has been caught red-handed, says Natural News, removing all of the dislikes. Well, not all of them. Got to leave one or two just to make it look good. From the Fuhrer's White House page. Now, in this case, I guess it's more appropriately the whitewash page. And they started back on the very first day of the new regime. When the story read like this, courtesy of the Gateway Pundit, then, Jen Psaki held a press briefing with the leftist horde in the White House briefing room after the Hunger Games inaugural, and after lying through the swearing-in, Biden signed a whole bunch of executive orders to open borders, shut down U.S. energy production, throw a whole lot of people out of work, and punish American companies. And during the White House presser, the American public was quick to downvote Psaki's nonsense. By 3 p.m., the video had 10,000 downvotes, swamping the minuscule number of likes, but by 7 p.m., guess who? YouTube had come to the rescue then and erased over two-thirds of the downvotes. And while most Americans just refuse to watch, similar disapproval has greeted many of the new Fuhrer's addresses to the peons, meaning that since then, the gatekeepers have just managed to get better at covering things up. Isn't that what AI is for anyway? I mean, really, if you can change votes, how hard can it be to change a few dislikes into "We love Big Brother"? Turns out, of course, that we have other ways, too. As a piece from Alicia Powell at the Gateway Pundit points out, Big Tech and the big guy, Biden, are working feverishly to manipulate the public into believing that the newly sworn-in Fuhrer is actually adored by the masses. Twitter appears to be creating fake accounts to follow the senile one and give his dismal popularity an ostensible boost in yet another pitiful attempt, as she puts it, to convince the world that the scandal-plagued far-left Chinese communist puppet won the presidential election by an unprecedented and downright ridiculous 81 million American votes, some of them actually alive. And here's the money tweet in here. Via Bree Wild, Joe's been getting 100,000 followers on Twitter every day, except they're all fake. Probably 70% of them, since he joined Twitter in January, actually have zero followers themselves. But even when you add in the fakes, folks, says the piece, Biden currently has 6.3 million Twitter followers. And, of course, before being banned, deep-sixed, and memory-holed, Donald Trump's account had about 88.7 million followers. So let me ask a serious question here. Given that he can hardly get through reading a teleprompter and doesn't know what he's signing and can't really even seem to follow instructions through his earwig, does anybody actually believe for a second that the senile mob boss now playing at dictator-in-chief is actually able to write his own tweets? When all is said and done, though, if there's anything that characterizes the incoming regime, according to their communist roots, it's the tried-and-true communist game plan. You take power, and you destroy every vestige of the old republic. It's not enough to tear down statues and rename schools, buildings, and even entire cities. And that's coming. You rewrite history, re-educate the populace, and destroy every vestige of what went before. In this case, it would be the American Revolution for Independence of 1776. And case in point, imagine this, folks, another one of the new Fuhrer's original executive orders was to get rid of Donald Trump's 1776 commission. After all, the point of the commission was to educate people on what American patriots once pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to fight for. And, of course, the new revolution is all about destroying and undermining, starting with the concept of God-given, once, at least some people thought, constitutionally protected rights. In abolishing what he called the offensive 1776 commission and the whole concept of patriotic education, Biden called it harmful and counterfactual. Oh, and did we mention racist, too? Claiming that Achtung, banning it will help national unity, und you will be unified or you will go to the camp und be re-educated. Think I'm kidding? If you speak out, you will be silenced. We've already talked about what Twitter, Two Facebook, and Gulag have been doing for quite some time. Now they've simply taken off the gloves, removed the evil mask, and are doing it openly, en masse. I've already talked about the so-called Domestic Terrorism Act that targets what they now call domestic violence extremism. That means you can read the Constitution, you think we once had God-given rights, and you don't like what's being done to the country. Achtung, you are the problem. And as U.S. Representative Tulsi Gabbard, herself a high-profile Democrat, although given that she actually seems to take her oath to the Constitution seriously, she never had a prayer of actually being nominated as a candidate for president, showing that she still hasn't quite been drinking the Kool-Aid, she's warning that the Democrat bill on domestic terrorism is, in fact, aimed at conservatives, and she said it would undermine the constitutional rights of, quote, almost half the country, meaning conservatives, libertarians, and Bible believers, in an interview with Fox News. And that, of course, is the intent. The anti-constitutional bill by the shiftless one from California, entitled the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act, SICK, of 2021, will not only undermine the constitutional rights of about half the country, she said, but, quote, we don't have to guess about where this goes or how this ends. Sounds like Tulsi's read history. She told Brian Kilmeade at Fox News that the problem will come into focus as the Biden regime attempts to build a profile of a potential extremist. And if you're hearing this broadcast, folks, that means you. Quote, what are we talking about, she asked. Religious extremists. Are we talking about Christians? Evangelical Christians? What is a religious extremist? Is it someone who is pro-life? I mean, where do you take this? Clearly, she indicated, the FedGov is targeting conservatives and added, you start looking at, okay, well, obviously, you have to be a white person, obviously, likely male, libertarians. Well, anybody who loves freedom, liberty, maybe has an American flag at their house, or people who, you know, attended a Trump rally, unquote. whereupon she was asked if the new regime talking about the deprogramming of Trump supporters relates to this new domestic terrorism thrust. She says, I think it does, very directly, and said, once you start walking down this path, you see where it leads, to a very dangerous undermining of our civil liberties, our freedoms in our Constitution, and a targeting of, again, almost half the country, unquote. And it won't result in unity, she said, kind of underlining the obvious. Quote, this whole effort, whether you're talking about this bill or people saying that we have to deprogram these Trump cultists and people who voted for Trump because they've been radicalized, all of this just goes to further tear our country apart, said Tulsi Gabbard. And it moves towards the thing Joe Biden said in his inauguration speech that shouldn't happen, said Tulsi. And, of course, we know his lips were just moving and he probably didn't realize what he was reading off the teleprompter anyway. And that, she said, is the dehumanization of your opponent. And if that sounds a little bit Hitlerian, folks, we're all on the same page here. And the intent of talking about it, while we still can, is to make sure we do not all get forced onto the same train. And one of the big ways we'll see this implemented was rolled out this week as well, when a pro-Trump meme maker and, as they put it, Twitter troll was indicted by the federal bastion of intimidation for the crime of using satire, and as it turns out, it was pretty darn good satire, too, to make a political point. Achtung, that is now verboten, unless, obviously, your political point serves the party and the almighty state. And this one, folks, I'm going to tell you, you had better sit down, because when it comes to in-your-face hypocrisy, and we will blame you for what we've been doing and getting away with, it doesn't get any clearer than this. The indictment was for attempting to, quote, spread election disinformation. What do you bet we're going to see a whole lot more of that? And no, it's not going to be the people who switched ballots from Trump to Biden and printed boxes of them to hide underneath tables and pull out in the wee hours of the morning either. It'll be those who actually talk about it and think it might have happened, in spite of the fact that, well, they're destroying all the evidence, with FBI help, it would seem. And don't you dare make up effective satire about it, or we'll pillory and then draw and quarter you. Here first is the Zero Hedge summary, which is about as objective as it gets. A 31-year-old Florida man was arrested in West Palm Beach on Wednesday by none other than the Gestapo of the now Fourth Reich on federal charges that he conspired with several other people, hey, and we thought they didn't believe in conspiracy theories, to use memes and social media platforms to trick Hillary Clinton voters into voting via text messages. Now, wait a second. You can vote by mail, vote early, vote often, vote as much as you want, photocopy them, send them in, you don't even have to be registered, much less a United States citizen, and you can't vote by text messages? Oh, well, wait a second. See, he was way ahead of the game. He was talking about this, joking about it, making fun of it, making memes about it even, 4 years ago. Und zat is verboten. Now that they're actually doing it, of course, but for the other team, and got away with it, too, it's okay. And you're not allowed to talk about that, either. Much less make up a hysterical meme parodying it. Back to the story. Douglas Mackey, it says, a.k.a. Ricky Vaughn, that was his Twitter handle, faces up to 10 years in prison for, quote, spreading election disinformation using several Twitter accounts, one of which had almost 60,000 followers before, say it with me, folks, he was suspended by Twitter. Huh, this is an interesting date. November 3rd. 2016. As we now know, the coup was in progress even then. It just took them 4 years to consolidate power enough that they can now start making examples of those who resisted the Reich. And listen to this from the Biden regime Department of Just Us, and I'm quoting, starting in at least 2015, says the indictment, Mackey participated in numerous group DMs. These groups, which at times included dozens of individuals and at times had overlapping membership, served as forums for the participants to share, among other things, their views concerning how best to, oh, horror of horrors, listen to this, influence the election. I shudder just to think about people who might actually want to have tried to influence the election. Don't they know better? It was rigged anyway. Oh, wait a minute. This was 2016. They didn't rig it well enough. And I guess it goes without saying, but it is worth noting that Hitler's people not only tried to influence an election and then rig an election, but overturn an entire country and not transfer power peacefully when they didn't go far enough at rigging the election. As Sean Davis put it in a tweet, and as far as I know he hasn't yet been arrested, quote, "This is insane. Hillary Clinton paid a foreign operative to defraud the FBI, no difficult feat there, for the deep state anyway, which then defrauded a federal court to sway the 2016 election. No charges there. But a vile internet troll who peddled a mere dumb meme in 2016, that is a federal crime." In 2021, in CCP America, Christina Layla's summary for the Gateway Pundit says the following, and maybe, folks, doesn't go quite far enough. "The Fed," she writes, "are criminalizing political speech in order to lock up Trump supporters, and even worse, nobody who unleashed the might of the U.S. FedGov to illegally spy on Trump's 2016 campaign and then undermine a fair and free election, yeah, sure, but not nearly as much as we saw this time around, has gone to jail." Yeah, or we'll certainly have it right one more time. Some animals really are more equal than others. Well, back to the indictment, showing you what will happen eventually if you dare to try to make fun of the almighty state, you dastardly, evil, domestic violence extremist, you. Quote, "Among other things, Mackey and the members of these groups used the group DMs to create, refine, and share memes and hashtags that members of the groups would subsequently post and distribute." Unquote. And yes, folks, throw the book at him. For this, they want to put Douglas Mackey, a.k.a. Ricky Vaughn, in a federal gulag for up to 10 years. And if that doesn't silence him, it'll certainly silence anybody else who can see what the regime will do to you if you dare to speak up. Gee, folks, can you say selective enforcement? Not to mention the intended chilling effect of prior restraint of free speech? And finally, since we're talking about the criminalization of free speech and the victors now going out and rounding up and deprogramming and reprogramming the vanquished at the behest of their communist Chinese puppet masters, we have this from the Clown Circus, once called the seat of the legislative branch of the formerly free United States. And remember, folks, as George Orwell pointed out, and we're seeing writ large today, it's not enough to defeat your enemy, or even by hook or by crook, by any means necessary, get rid of him, the figurehead, and all who supported him. You destroy everything they stood for, destroy their followers, and ultimately even destroy the very memory of the entire republic that preceded the New World Order, which turns out to be not that new at all.
Second verse, same as the first.
Yeah, they're going to keep impeaching Donald Trump, it seems, until people forget who he ever even was. And if it's not obvious, in that continuing process, the Constitution is utterly irrelevant, even though they'll prattle and lie through their damnable teeth saying something different. So it was at least refreshing to see Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky on the Senate floor the other day talking about just how obscene this ridiculous farce really is.
"This impeachment is nothing more than a partisan exercise designed to further divide the country. Democrats claim to want to unify the country, but impeaching a former president, a private citizen, is the antithesis of unity. Democrats brazenly appointing a pro-impeachment Democrat to preside over the trial is not fair or impartial and hardly encourages any kind of unity in our country. No, unity is the opposite of this travesty we are about to witness. If we are about to try to impeach a president, where is the Chief Justice? If the accused is no longer president, where is the constitutional power to impeach him? Private citizens don't get impeached. Impeachment is for removal from office. And the accused here has already left office. Hyperpartisan Democrats are about to drag our great country down into the gutter of rancor and vitriol, the likes of which has never been seen in our nation's history."
And I'll say it again, that's the intent. Because how else can you pull off the combination of a second Civil War and introduce a Fourth Reich at the very same time? What Senator Paul did manage to demonstrate, though, besides the incredible hypocrisy of literally fomenting violence at every turn, and Rand Paul ought to know he was a victim of the Democrat left doing exactly that, on multiple occasions was just how obscene it is to then turn around and try to blame the president for talking about peace while they were pushing people into a violent insurrection. Along with that, however, what he did accomplish was an effort to force a vote on the constitutionality, as if it still mattered, of the impeachment trial. And when it was all said and done, 45 Republican senators voted with Senator Paul and against the impeachment trial, indicating beyond any doubt that there simply aren't enough votes to follow through with a conviction on this vindictive farce. But what do you bet they're going to go through with it anyway? And that, too, folks, is a great big flashing red warning. Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening, folks. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and let's try to wrap up a week where the nutcases have clearly shown that they're not interested in reconciliation or in unity. What they clearly want to do is destroy everything that's left of truth, justice, and the American Republic. But the irony is that while they're lying through their teeth and talking about tolerance, except, of course, they have no tolerance for you, and how systemic racism is bad, unless, obviously, they do it. So it's clearly okay to advocate for destroying white people. Maybe they'll even make them wear yellow stars. Or red hats, so they know who to target. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, who are we kidding? If they're white, they already know who to target. But sadly, folks, this is the kind of in-your-face, unbelievable, Orwellian double-think hypocrisy that we're now getting used to. But at least occasionally, the far, far left will come out and admit something that's so true, you almost have to chuckle. Case in point, on Thursday, nutcase Nancy Pelosi decreed that, quote, the enemy is within the House of Representatives. And she finally nails it. She's never in her life spoken anything more true. The enemy is within the House of Representatives. It's been utterly taken over by oath-breaking, traitorous communists, including nutcase Nancy. Now, I took that out of context. She, of course, is talking about that other enemy, you know, white bread America, those who actually can read the Constitution for comprehension or realize that the election was stolen, and they're going to destroy you if you even so much as talk about it, much less try to tweet about it. So from there, let's talk about something the waystream liars won't. Writes Christina Layla for the Gateway Pundit, there's a virtual media blackout after Antifa terrorists rioted at the Portland ICE facility overnight, where nearly 60 Antifa terrorists burned American flags and threw projectiles and mortar explosives at federal police officers. Antifa blocked the street, set a dumpster on fire, tried to push it into the ICE building, and federal police were attacked as soon as they came out of the building to try to stop Antifa from setting it on fire. But hey, do they really care about domestic violent extremists? Turns out that feds rushed to make a targeted arrest of a repeat offender who was, say it with me, quickly released without bail. Good thing he didn't post anything pro-Trump now, isn't it? TGP mails it, and this is the take-home. The Biden regime is busy labeling anything related to Trump supporters as domestic terrorists, while completely ignoring real violence from the likes of Antifa. Hey, come to think of it, just like they ignore real incitement to riot from the likes of nutcase Nancy Pelosi and Mad Maxine Waters, in the truest of the Hitlerian big lie tradition, they blame their enemy for what they are in fact getting away with. We saw it with Russia, 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 while they sold out the country to communist China, and now that they're consolidating their communist takeover, you literally see it everywhere you look. All of which takes me to a story that I think is truly fascinating because it shows that something else is going on here beneath all the disgusting rhetoric about insurrection and riots in Washington, while they ignore riots all over the rest of the country instigated by, oh yeah, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the far left, the same false flag insurrectionist agent provocateurs that seem to have been the major force behind provoking what happened in Washington, along perhaps with some insiders in what now passes for law enforcement. So the deep state and their media puppets prattle on about domestic violence extremists, a.k.a. the counter-revolution that is being nipped in the bud, even if they're far, far more peaceful than those that really do seem to be trying to kill them. And furthermore, even if it hasn't actually happened yet, except for the Argent provocateurs, still, though, you can bet they're going to work hard to eventually provoke that civil war they've been itching for so long, which means we cannot fail to follow the money. And this week there's been some really interesting, downright incredible churn in the rigged stock markets. Zero Hedge has been all over it. A lot of focus on something called GameStop. Latest example of manipulation, for sure, and a bubble gone mad. And it kind of seems like Wall Street is beside themselves with disgust that somebody else has taken over their crooked sandbox. Michael Snyder summarized it this way. Retail investors have banded together to turn the tables on Wall Street, creating a wild frenzy that's making headlines all over the globe with unprecedented short squeezes that have pushed the share prices of GameStop, AMC, Macy's, and BlackBerry to insane heights. Kind of par for the course, isn't it? And prominent voices in the financial world are complaining that trading in these stocks has become, say it with me, folks, completely divorced from the fundamentals. And so, yeah, what else is new? In fact, these young retail investors are actually being accused of turning the stock market into a, quote, video game. Quoting some of the worst of the hypocrites, Snyder notes, for example, that infamous investor Michael Burry is right. The stock market is unnatural, insane, and dangerous, and it's been that way for a very long time. In fact, if the market fell 50% tomorrow, it'd still be overpriced. So, when a Reddit group known as Wall Street Bets noticed that some big, infamous hedge funds had taken ridiculously large short positions against GameStop, they gamed them. On Thursday alone, folks, the price of a stock that traded a year ago for just $4 has traded between $112 and $483 a share. What do you bet that left a mark? Writes Michael Snyder, the big enemy here is Melvin Capital, a $12.5 billion hedge fund founded by Gabriel Plotkin, and it was one of the main targets of the Reddit campaign after an SEC filing revealed the fund had a huge short position in GameStop. No one knows for sure how much the running the shorts has cost them, but the estimates are in the billions. The Fuhrer's press secretary has told reporters that they are monitoring the situation. Asked Snyder just what is there to monitor. After all is fair in love and investing, and the retail investors of Wall Street Bets caught some big hedge funds with their pants down and have punished them for it. And after all they've been getting away with, he suggests, maybe a little bit of revenge is definitely in order. Not like too many folks are shedding tears for the short sellers. If you can't handle the pain, he writes, don't play the game. But in the end, this entire farce of a market is going to collapse utterly, one way or another, anyway. So the truth is, very few are going to get out of this thing unscathed. Your host has called this market, along, of course, with the rigged paper metals markets, the crooked casinos, as long as I've been doing radio. Concludes Snyder, what a joke. Our financial markets are fraudulent to the core. They have been for many years. And pretty soon, that's going to be impossible to ignore. On Friday, Zero Hedge talked about the David versus Goliath narrative that's quickly emerging here as retail investors band together over things like Reddit's Wall Street Bets forum and other platforms to crush hedge funds by triggering short squeezes, some of them turning meager savings accounts into six-figure positions in the process, and some have shared very personal stories about why they're doing it. One goes by the name of Space Peanut, and he wrote the following. This is for you, Dad. I remember when the housing collapse sent a torpedo through my family. My father's concrete company collapsed almost overnight. My father lost his home. My uncle lost his home. I remember my brother helping my father count pocket change on our kitchen table. This was all the money he had left in the world. Meanwhile, I saw hedge funders literally drinking champagne as they looked down on the Occupy Wall Street protesters. I'll never forget that. My father, he said, never recovered from that blow. He fell deeper and deeper into alcoholism and now exists as a shell of his former self, waiting for death. This, he concluded, is all the money I have, and I'd rather lose it all than give them what they need to destroy me. Taking money from me won't hurt me. I'll burn it all down just to spite them. Again, this is for you, Dad. Which reminds me, folks, of Gerald Celente's famous line, when people lose it all, they lose it. But to their credit, these people are fighting back against their oppressors with their brains, not with bombs. Which brings me to some comments that I hope will begin to tie some of this together, especially when it comes to what we can actually do about it peacefully in such a time as this. in spite of various three-letter agencies that are now the modern equivalent of the SS and Gestapo. The Department of Akhtung Homeland Security, they could care less about the peons. What they want to do is maintain control as the country spirals into a communist dictatorship. So they talk about domestic violence extremists, and they know darn well that it's not likely that, at least in the short term, the people who have been patient beyond all reason are going to rise up and go to Washington, D.C. That would be kind of silly, honestly. But what they seem to be even more concerned about are what I'm going to call financial violent extremists. And these are people that say, you know, I've had enough having my lives and my property stolen and my businesses ruined. And, you know, forcing me to wear masks and do other stupid things and literally destroying the country and my children's futures. And so we saw with the GameStop thing that targeted the short sellers and the hedge funds how it put the fear of something, might even be the fear of the living God, although I doubt it, into the big hedge fund managers and the controllers at the Fed and so forth. And I'm going to suggest the following. Now, again, this is not something that there hasn't been discussion of. I have talked for literally years about the single best option on the planet. Why? Because Scripture does. When it comes to a defense against the coming meltdown, we have the biggest financial bubble in history, the biggest debt bubble in history. The world reserve currency is in fact a sham. It's based on nothing but paper. It's a lie. The Bible calls it an abomination. And over again in Scripture, we see that it's silver that is real money. Literally, the words are even the same in the Hebrew. And in the Constitution, when some folks thought we had a Constitution anyway, nothing but gold or silver coin was to be made a tender in payment of debt. We were never supposed to have a Federal Reserve. So here's where all the GameStop stock gamers running the shorts takes us. Based on the success of what they did with GameStop, there are people that are talking about saying, hey, you know what? Silver has been similarly suppressed. Silver has been sold short. In other words, you have a lot of big banksters that have sold, well, lots and lots of contracts, but literally millions upon millions of ounces, even tons, of silver that does not exist, cannot be delivered. And everybody knows this. So now, here's the headline, for example, from one of the financial markets. This might be Mike Snyder again. The big fish have been able to do virtually anything they want on Wall Street, but now the small fish are fighting back. It's beautiful to watch. And now short sellers have ruthlessly crushed countless businesses over the years. They did it without showing any mercy, and yet, now that the tables have been turned, they want mercy themselves. Not going to happen. And so I'm going to say this. I'll preface this by saying, no, what follows is not financial advice. This is survival prep. So, is the silver market perfectly primed for an epic short squeeze just like GameStop was? Answer is yeah. It's been that way for years. All it takes is somebody to pull the pin. And so what I'm going to encourage is, even if it doesn't happen now, obviously those that have been buying silver and understanding what's going on and the ratios, all kinds of technical things you could say that make silver a perfect play, especially if you realize it really is money, constitutionally and scripturally. So here we go. Alistair MacLeod out of London. The bullion bank silver short on COMEX is about 100 million ounces. And now he says there's no liquidity in London. 100 million ounces. By the way, gold market is also oversold, but not quite to the same extent. They can't deliver the gold that they've sold either. But silver is just literally the biggest bomb on earth waiting to explode because they cannot deliver the paper. Says MacLeod, it won't take much to put a rocket under the price, and we're now seeing what could destabilize all the precious metals contracts. Lawrence Leopard, analyst, says, not only that, but silver is also the cheapest financial asset on the planet by far. It's still at less than half of its double-top all-time high at $50. It could easily make $100. Ole Hansen, head of commodity strategy at Saxo Bank, says silver's correction was short-lived. Current levels, the ratio, in other words, the ratio between gold and silver, is en route to record its lowest close. That would be a significant thing, too. But here's the one I like. This is Peter Bakvar. For some reason, the Reddit crowd is now chattering about silver. Now, by the way, they've taken their chattering private, so it's harder to tell what they're talking about doing. But I'm going to suggest that whether they do target silver or not, the rest of us should. Now, the reason why this is important is because silver is cheap. It's historically cheap relative to value. It's real money. You can buy junk silver coins that are actually lawful United States coin. So it has some advantages that way, too. It's portable. It's divisible. You can go down to your corner store if they ever allow them to open, or if you just find somebody that says, the hell with the closure mandates. I want to sell a cup of coffee and a couple eggs for 10 cents in silver, one silver dime. All of those things are possible. So back to Peter Bachvar. For some reason, he said, the Reddit crowd's chattering about silver. There's this belief that for years, the big banks, particularly J.P. Morgan, and that's true, have been artificially suppressing its price. He claims that he doesn't think there is a large short position that he's aware of. Others certainly disagree. But that said, it's still my favorite asset. So one way or another, especially if this Reddit thing that targeted GameStop gets targeted at silver. Now, they're talking about buying SLV. Now, SLV is an ETF, an exchange-traded fund. Honestly, and personally, I don't like that. The idea is that, if they buy enough shares of SLV, then the SLV would have to purchase silver. Well, why not just go buy silver yourself and have it? Because eventually, there isn't going to be any. And so they're trying to force the shorts. I'm actually just trying to get people to say, hey, given what we know is coming and the biggest financial meltdown in human history, you can be a financial violent extremist. That's fine. But what's more important is here is a way to peacefully and lawfully protest the destruction of everything you've worked for your whole life, to protect yourself in the process and not hurt anybody physically, except those that deserve to be destroyed financially for the evil that they have wrought. So it's perfect. Now, I want to emphasize next the difference between paper precious metals and those that you can actually hold in your hand that are real. And that's the reason why this short squeeze and the setup is what it is, because literally the crooks have been manipulating the price of silver by selling something which does not exist. They've done it with gold, too. And they said, okay, we'll sell you a contract. We can't deliver the contract, but hey, we know you're never going to actually demand delivery. We'll just settle for cash. As a matter of fact, the COMEX has been caught a number of times, it would seem, and they're not going to talk about it openly, but there have certainly been those that have testified that they've been doing this, forcing people to say, we'll make it difficult for you to get your silver physically, so don't you just want to take a nice check? We'll make it worth your while. We'll add another couple percent on top if you'll keep it quiet that we didn't have the silver to settle with, or the gold. So the difference is the paper. And the paper is not the same as the real. You can have a contract that says, I own all this silver. It's in a vault in Switzerland. Can I see it? No. Can I have it? Oh, of course not. Does it exist? Well, we tell you it does. What, don't you trust this? Because when it comes to paper and short sales, and the reason why so much of this crookedness has literally destroyed the world economy. Now, if you think about it, the dollar itself is kind of a short sale, because the dollar is not something real. A dollar is loaned into existence. So if you want to think of it mathematically, a dollar is not a positive thing. It doesn't represent a share of ownership in something, like a certificate even for a gold coin or a silver bar. A dollar is a unit of debt. It's a negative quantity. So if you borrow a dollar into existence and you have to pay interest on it, every dollar you borrow, let's say you just pay 1% interest on it to pay it back. Now, you borrow a dollar, well, you owe a dollar and a penny. Well, wait a minute, where's the extra penny going to come from? Well, we'll borrow that. Okay, what you see is, doesn't take a genius to realize, hey, you can never pay back the dollar that you borrowed with the interest that they're charging you on it. The hole just gets deeper. You will always have to borrow more to pay back. So it's a losing game from the get-go. Everybody knows this. This is why we're setting up for the Great Reset. It's why we have a communist regime that says we had better keep the peons in line so that when this thing collapses, we have control around their necks. And now we've got a few in terms of some of the sharp folks, this Reddit subgroup, that are fighting back and saying it will hit them where it hurts. No, we're not going to go out and kill them with guns. We're going to hurt their pocketbooks. And what will the crooks do? They'll change the rules. Oh, they'll say, well, we're not going to let you sell in our controlled markets. So you can't buy or sell when we don't let you. That's part of the reason I'm not a big fan of Bitcoin, for example. If they cut you off from the web, how are you going to transfer your Bitcoin? Answer, well, you don't, unless you take the mark, take the poke, get your vaccine. All right, so the story that I started to tell was this. A good friend had a gold business and good, honest people. Eric used to tell a story when he was at the helm of that company, and he'd say, here's the problem with a paper certificate. That says, I own this silver bar or this gold bar, and it's in a vault somewhere. How do you know you own it? Well, it says right here, I got this serial number on the bar. Can you show me the bar? Well, no, they won't let me in to see it. How do you know they haven't sold that bar 37 times with the same serial? You don't. It's called rehypothecation. Turns out it's been going on for a long time. They have gold in a vault. They sell it. They sell it again. They sell it again. This was part of the reason why back 600 years ago, there were goldsmiths hanging from trees once people realized that the goldsmith was just writing up certificates for bars that weren't actually in that vault. All right, so Eric's example went like this. You think you have some gold or silver. If you can't hold it in your hot little hands, you don't own it. And the story he would tell would be kind of like, suppose you were stupid enough to think that you could have a certificate that says, I own a gun. Now, I can't have a gun because in formerly free America, they won't let me have it. In New York City, you're not allowed to possess it. You have to keep it in a vault, maybe, and have to keep a lock on it. And maybe you have to put it in somebody else's possession where they're trusted. They're the police. So we'll keep your gun in a vault somewhere, all nice and locked up. So let's suppose now a burglar breaks into your house. So what do? You're reduced to the ridiculous position of holding up your piece of paper and a certificate and saying, look, I have a gun. I have a gun. What do you bet the burglar can just knife you right through it, right? In other words, we have gotten to the place where as a society we don't recognize that there is a real big difference between having a piece of paper that says I own something and having the real thing. And, of course, it's kind of like saying I have a piece of paper that says I voted, right? Gee, now we found out what that's worth. What I'm suggesting is all of this is part and parcel of the same problem. We live in a land, folks, where a man's word is not worth a damn. And I say that with great anger because if you look at Numbers chapter 30, the book says that a man is to do all that proceeds out of his mouth, period. Period. We got people put their hand on a Bible. We just saw an example on national TV. Nobody was there to watch it in person. The guy put his hand on a Bible. We all knew darn well he was a liar because he's already promised he was going to gang rape the Bill of Rights. He's coming for your guns. Shall not be infringed? No. Does he care about the Constitution? Hell no. He wouldn't be doing what he's doing. He wouldn't be there. So the whole point is we've built an entire country on the concept of dishonest weights and measures, of people who lie, of people who put their hand on a Bible. They sometimes wear black robes. They lie too. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't even read it. Does it exist? Well, it might as well not. I hear arguments, well, did it die in 1913? Was the Constitution destroyed in 1865? Was it destroyed during Reconstruction? Was it destroyed by FDR in 1933, about March the 9th? Hey, all kinds of candidates. But the point is, we've now reached the place where there's no doubt about it. The politicians, the banksters, the criminals, the judges, their word isn't worth a damn. Their paper isn't worth squat. They will sell things that they have no intention of delivering. They will manipulate markets with crooked, dishonest weights and measures, and they get away with it. And they think they can get away with it forever. And it scares the living hell out of them when a few people say, you know what? We realize you've tipped too far. It's kind of like in a boxing ring, right? And the boxer is overextended. He's got his weight too far forward. All you got to do is just grab him, pull him, and he falls over. This is what people are now seeing. Big Brother's minions have overextended. They're financially exposed. They have sold silver, in particular, that they cannot deliver. Take them down. Tell them. I don't just demand that you deliver it. I'm going to buy it. I'm just going to buy silver ounces locally. I'm going to get my hands on them while they still can because the music has stopped. There aren't enough chairs. There's not enough silver to deliver. Again, it's not financial advice. This is survival prep. Yes, you need to have a lot of things in this environment. Now, people are going to be short on food. They're going to be short on tools. They're going to be short on equipment. They're going to be short on all kinds of things that they need. You can see that you need food. So get enough food to deal with. You might not have room to store enough food as you're going to need. But I guarantee you can store a whole lot more silver in a relatively small space, easier to hide. And eventually, when you realize, oh, you know what? I needed some number 8 screws. I don't have them. I needed some ammunition. I don't have it. Well, that's gotten real expensive. Ultimately, what will make the difference is the ability to trade with people that you trust for things that you need, with things that have always, scripturally and lawfully, been money for as long as human beings have been around. And again, the Bible makes it clear. That's kesef. That's silver. So yes, we know we need food. We better have some. But on the other hand, there are probably going to be things you didn't know you need, but you're going to need really badly. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have something that everybody will use as a medium of exchange once, of course, they finally figure out just how badly they've been had that led up to it, to trade for those things, given what we've known for a long time is coming, and now it's literally on the doorstep.